I need a beer.
All right. This is Bone White Bob. Welcome to an all-new edition of Bone with Bobcat right here on the Bone White Bob YouTube channel and on all your favorite podcast apps, where we bring you the best of the worst in cheap booze, the bottom shelf, bone wines, beers, 40s, malt liquor, all the stuff you grew up on, we cover here each and every week on the podcast. So do us a solid and smash that subscribe button. Now over 17,000 subscribers and counting on the Bum Wine Bob YouTube channel. So help spread the word. Hopefully you recovered from your New Year's festivities. You joined us for our live show on New Year's Day to cure your hangovers going into 2026. But we are back. We are back in the saddle again, ready to rock and roll. So tell your friends. It doesn't cost anything to subscribe to the Bum Wine Bob YouTube channel. A lot of good things coming your way in 2026. And let's get the party started right now with Mr. Malt Liquor himself. Roadhouse is here. Roadhouse man, how you doing?
Man, it's been a great week so far. So I'm ready to kick this off tonight. Super excited about our guest.
Yeah. Let's see. I think this year we're going to have to bring in some more guests from the outside coming in again. You know, we've had quite a few in the past in the old school days before we went to the video version
right
of the podcast. But don't worry, those of you out there that want to see us hitting everything on the bottom shelf, more of that's coming your way, because Roadhouse has been out there searching and
yes,
and he might have hit the jackpot. So you got to stay tuned to see what he found in his travels, and fingers crossed that myself and our good buddy Kevin can find the same thing. If you've been following us and you heard the podcast a few weeks back, you know about the jackpot that is out there in select areas as of right now. So you see that little tease there for our friends over at Four Loko.
Yeah.
Just let us know that. And to all of our new subscribers that have found their way to us, if it's through, you know, Classic Clips, Johnny Carson, Ronnie Dangerfield, Simpson, Stone Cold, Cheers, you name it,
yeah,
we cover it here. And people that have been following and subscribing because of these Classic Clips, it's nice to see people leave a lot of comments on these videos.
They're great.
And we talked last week a little bit about the Country Club malt liquor, and somebody commented that that was their go-to drink in high school back in the 60s. So we cover a wide variety here. We have a wide audience these days.
Yeah.
Somebody else left a comment on one of the Rodney Dangerfield clips that I posted, saying that he was a pilot and flew private jets in the 80s and flew Rodney and his wife and Rodney's two kids. And said they're very nice.
I bet.
It's great to see this stuff, and people bring up all this reminiscing, the nostalgia, and all that good stuff there. So you never know what you're going to get here. So it's a grab bag of goodies, as we like to say.
Mm.
And that's no different this week, because we have a special guest joining our show this week, who covers a variety of different areas, of different topics. So we don't know where this one will go to, but he likes to call himself a disruptor in the home service industries. He's the founder and lead pest strategist of Buzzkill Pest Control. Let's bring in Doug is here. Doug, man, how you doing?
Pretty good. How are you guys doing?
Good. Doing better now. You know, so hey, now, thanks for coming on here, joining us.
You're welcome. Now, where are you guys? It looks from the backgrounds I'm seeing here, looks like you're not very far from Milwaukee.
you would think so, but I know I'm in New Jersey is where I am,
and I'm in Kentucky.
He's in Kentucky, and
I'm in Indiana. I went to school in Kentucky, University of Louisville.
Yeah,
yep.
You speak English.
I do speak English. Yeah, right.
it's not a requirement, but it's just great to see, though, you know.
So what part of the state are you in? Are you in the middle, the up, north, south?
Indianapolis.
Okay. I've been there several times.
Yeah, so I grew up across the river in Illinois, but in a little small town, but basically maybe like the Vincennes, Terre Haute area.
Okay.
So this is about as far north as I like to go, Indianapolis. Sure.
Now, have you been in that area your whole life, or have you been around in?
I moved here in, I think, 1995.
Okay.
Which, that's what, 30 years.
Yeah.
And, when you get old, you think about something and, like, man, do you remember that Red Dog beer? I thought to myself, and I thought, man, I remember drinking that like 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
And then 30 you start years. Thinking about it, and it's actually like 32 years ago.
Yeah, I was going to say the same thing. It's like, I was talking to somebody earlier. I'm like, oh, yeah, 2020 is 5 to 6 years ago now. And it seems like it was just like yesterday, that time seems to move a lot quicker these days, which is it's a good and a bad thing. I mean, it is sad when you see how quick things move. Memories like that, you're like, oh, yeah, I drank that Red Dog, last year. Oh, you know, that was 30 years ago. Oh, okay. They don't make it anymore, sadly. The went by the is, wayside.
We'll all be dead before you know it.
Yeah.
Yeah, back in those days, I used to go to a lot of dirt track racing around Kentucky, and I didn't think the race could start until I showed up with a cooler full of Red Dog. We'd sit there and drink, two or three cases and watch the dirt track.
Yeah, we used to drink a lot of that Red Dog. It was pretty good, pretty decent beer. Now
it's cheap.
Now we're drinking Hams. And I'll tell you what I think of Hams, what I like about it. You go to the liquor store and get any other Lawnmower beer. And they're all lagers. You know, like that crisp, clean, kind of cold brewed taste. And you pick up a Hams, and when you're drinking Hams, just my opinion, it tastes a lot more like an ale.
Yeah, I could see that. Yeah, see, I cracked one open before. I got a few more on hand here, so I'll crack open another one here. I see Roadhouse is over there sipping on the Bud Ice.
Yeah, I've got Bud Ice
over there. Another classic.
So that ice beer, I drink that sometimes, and I've seen people that drink ice beer. So I don't know if you guys know, but what makes it ice beer is they brew the beer and then they put it in a freezer and all the water in it freezes into a big ice cube. And then they fish that out and throw it away. Right. So it's got more alcohol because they freeze the water off of it.
Thank goodness.
See, that's smart. That's smart thinking.
Yeah. Right, so if the price is the same, you'd probably want to go with the ice beer.
It's always a little bit higher. Yeah. I think the Bud Ice is the 5.5% compared to the Hams here, which is the 4.7. 4.7.
4.7. Still get the job done.
It will. Nothing to shake your head at there, especially if you crack open a bunch of them and you get ones like this that are now spilling all over the place here.
You get the money shot.
Yeah, that's what happens. I bring it down here, start shaking all over the place. I got a whole mess. Luckily, it wasn't a glass bottle that shattered all over my floor. I don't know, Doug. This happened about a year ago. We were doing for the podcast. We were doing a Edward 40 hands. When you get your two 40s and you duct tape them on your hands.
It's a
college, it's a global thing. But we were doing a to celebrate once we had hit 1,000 subscribers on YouTube, we were doing a special Edward 40 hands challenge. We were doing modified. You didn't have to tape your hands. Roadhouse did. He went legit. He taped the 40s there. But I'm like, I'm running the show here. I need to have hands. I got to use a keyboard and a mouse and do stuff here. So he said, all right, I'll just hold the two 40s. I had two 40s. I had them sitting over here. And I'm doing some stuff. And all of a sudden, I hear the big crash. And they fell off the table here, fell onto the ground, and then shattered and spilled two 40s all over my floor over here. So that was a sad day. So at least with this guy here that now just made a mess all over the floor here. At least that's better than a shattered glass bottle.
You guys play a lot of Beer Hunter when you're off the air?
Oh, we're always on the search.
Yeah.
shake a can, put it back in the case, and then as you're drinking them, you got to hold them up next to your head and open them.
Haven't done that.
Beer.
I was going to say like, yeah, like a Russian roulette of.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. So maybe one of these days.
We're
always looking for new challenges around here and good ideas.
I haven't heard
Doug's
of
Doug's got something here.
Yeah, I've never heard of the Edward 40 hands, but here they've got the beer helmet. It's like a batter's helmet with a beer on each side, and then the tube comes down and it joins together, and then you sip
classic.
That.
I think I still got to get one of those. I think we had
the problem with those is they start a vacuum, so you pretty much have to drink the whole both cans.
You know, sounds
cans
like
are higher than.
Sounds like an engineering problem, man. Got some vapor lock going on.
It's not a problem.
Sounds like we might have some vapor lock going on. I think I could overcome that.
Hey, maybe that. We'll put that on your list to to do. You know you like to do your own problem solving.
Yes.
Over there in the pest control world. So maybe we can have you move that a little bit to the beer helmet world.
Yeah, could be.
Yeah, I was going to say, now that I got everything all nice and wet and sticky over here, we can dive into this.
Mm. I don't know if you guys are aware, but before I went to college and while I was in college, I was a correctional officer. I was a prison guard.
Mm, okay.
For quite a while. And that really gave me my sparkling personality. And then after that, I went to college and studied computer science, got a bachelor's, a master's, and a PhD. Spent, a long time, 30 years working in IT career. And then I got too old and was making too much money, so they made me retire. So then I, got to be in my bonnet and open this pest control company. Because I, for a long time, we'd get ants and stuff, and we hired a big pest control company to come and spray for them. And man, they were charging me like $100 a month. And then I started looking at their invoice and they were using something called bifenthrin. And I looked it up. You can get it on Amazon and I could get a gallon of that stuff, I think for $40. And that's enough to treat my house quarterly for the next 32 years.
Is it a concentrate?
It's a concentrate. Okay. So instead of paying them, $1,200 a year.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I bought enough insecticide to treat my house every quarter for the rest of my life for $40. And, I told some people about that. And then the next thing I know, I'm doing it for some of my neighbors and then some family members. And then I had to retire and I thought, I could, before I get caught and they write me a ticket, maybe I should just get a license.
Well, I should go legit on this now. Yeah.
Yeah. I should go legit. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's kind of how that got started. And I, what I got my PhD in was, computer engineering. So I had to take all the engineering core courses. So I'm always on the lookout for, different weird problems to solve. In the last probably the last 15 years of my career, I worked as a data architect doing data science work. So I like to collect data, and anything you can reduce to numbers, I can put it in a spreadsheet or a database and, analyze it statistically and tell you from a scientific standpoint, what's the best thing to do. And for example, in pest control, I've been saving that data and analyzing it. And I found out there's only four classes of insecticides that will reliably kill roaches. And that's why they're so hard to get rid of.
Mm. Now, did you have any prior pest experience before diving into this? Was it just,
I did not.
You had this guy, charging all this money and then you're like, well, hell, I'll get the stuff. I'll do it myself. You didn't have any background or experience at all. You're just like, I'm just going to dive in and do this.
I did it cold turkey. I just dived in and did it. And I did a lot of reading and and research. And as I figure stuff out, I put it on my blog so other people can read about it.
Okay. Gotcha. No, that's good. No, it's good. It's I wasn't sure if you had any, like, oh, you were doing this stuff, like, not in your spare time, but at least you were doing stuff around, and then you say, you know, I can make a new career out of this. It's just like, you know what? No, I'm just going to dive in and just take this head on.
Yeah, and, you know, one of the things that always drove me crazy about having an everyday job, you'd go in somewhere, and it'd be, you know, 2010, and they would say, you know, we want somebody with 30 years of experience with, mm-hmm. with SQL Server version 2005, or just something, you know, something would have been on the market for 5 years, and they'd be looking for somebody with 15 years of experience doing that.
Yeah,
just that's other, all that, yeah. Other nonsense like that. And being a business owner, I mean, I've interviewed people, you know, if I could find somebody that wasn't a bonehead, I'd hire them. And yeah. The thing is, like, I don't need to hire somebody that has pest control experience, right? Like, as long as they can read and write, the one job skill that I want to hire that seems to be pretty rare is you need to find somebody to do the job that actually cares about what they're doing. That's the job skill that is as a owner that I can't really find, you know, like somebody cares to the extent that
there's no passion in their work.
Yeah, there's no passion, and you know, I mean, they don't have to be super passionate, but passionate enough
to
give a crap about what they're doing.
Yeah. Follow directions and put effort into it is really the whole thing, and just they're not half-assing everything. Just trying to get it done as quick or as easy as possible, but to actually take the time to, you know, learn to an extent everything and learn the process of doing it.
Right. And in pest control, there's a saying that says the label is the law. So you get that pesticide, you know, you read the label. And you've probably seen a jug of insecticide, and it's got that little peel-off label.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You peel that open, and, you know, it unfolds into like a 15 foot long.
Peel for more, and it goes like, okay, it's still going. All right.
Yeah, it's like a big
roll. Who's going to read all this stuff here?
Yeah, it's a big roll of unrolled toilet paper or something.
Yeah, essentially.
And what you do is you get on the internet and you search for that label in a PDF, you know, and you read that, and it'll tell you how to use it, how to mix it up, what pest it's good for. You know, and I read it once, and then you know. So it's not, you know, it's not that big of a deal to learn how to do it.
Now, is there any specific type of pest that you deal with, or is it anything?
I got my license in structural pest control, which in Indiana is 7A. And that means, you know, like warehouses, apartments, homes, commercial establishments, restaurants, that kind of stuff. So, you know, what am I not licensed for that requires kind of a specialty license? Wildlife, termites, those are separate licenses. And if you're going to do aquatic pest control, like treat somebody's pond for, you know, algae or some kind of weird aquatic, you know, to keep that stuff down. You got to have a special license for that. And I think there's another license for agricultural pest control, you know, to treat food crops. I think most exterminators have the 7A structural pest control.
And now, does that cover everything? Because I'll pick your brain a little bit here. I had an issue this past year. I mean, hopefully they don't make their way back come springtime, but with bees in the, like, outside my garage, in like the foundation, in like the crack, and they were all like some hive or something underground in the crack between the foundation of the house. Now, is that something do you do with bees too, and that type of removal?
Well, so people say bees, and I mean there's a ground nesting bee. And they get in the ground and kind of they're a nuisance for a while, but they're not around long. usually if it's in the ground, it's probably going to be hornets or yellow jackets.
Yeah, I mean, they were the little bastards that were out there, because it would be right by the door, and they got me a few times and stinging me. Then I would go to in the punch wall I got, you know, for the code to open the garage door. I'm going to hit it to go in, and then they come like swarming out, like a whole bunch of them. Just the little tiny, so I don't know, they're tiny yellow jackets out there that like for all summer they were there. You know, I'm trying to, you know, spray stuff, but I mean they're all underground, so I mean you're not hitting anything if you're spraying. There's no nest or something like that to see.
So people say bees, right? There are ground nesting bees.
Yeah, I don't
exterminate those. There are honeybees. And you definitely don't want to exterminate those. But when somebody says bees, it means honeybees, ground nesting bees, hornets, yellow jackets, wasps, right? Wasps typically build their nests, you know, outside or up on the eaves or something like that. And hornets usually do. I think I found one hornet nest in somebody's attic. But wasps and hornets are usually outside somewhere, fairly easy to get to. And what gets inside the structure, right? Like under your house, inside the wall, all that kind of weird stuff, usually yellow jackets. And when it comes to those critters, of course, the queen is in there laying eggs. They turn into larvae, right? Mm-hmm. And as they're growing, they excrete like this sticky, sweet substance. And the yellow jackets pick that off of them. They eat that. And then they go out and find food and feed the larvae. So later in the year, like late in the summer, the queen quits laying larvae. So they don't have that, you know, that candy, that sugar substance that to eat.
Royal honey.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then they start getting pissed off, and they're not getting honey. So then they're out terrorizing picnics or whatever, trying to get the kids Kool-Aid and try to get their sugar the other way. So as the year goes on, that colony, that hive grows. So not only are there more of them, but they're angry and more aggressive because they're out there looking for sugar. So if you've got a soft drink or something, they're gonna come out and fight you for it. But if they're under your, you know, like your crawl space or in the foundation, typically what I do is put on a bee suit because I don't like getting stung, and I crawl under there and treat them, spray them or whatever. You know, I mean, I have cut holes in people's houses to get those things out of there. And if I can't do that, I have a powder, a dust, several different dusts, stuff like tri-dye, Delta dust, stuff like that. And you have a little puffer, and you puff some of that dust in there, and that kills them better. Kills them deader in a hand.
Yeah, I was going to say, because this is just like a little crack. You can't get under there. There's no way to get in there. I mean, this is between the garage and the driveway. So, I mean, it's just this one little crack right there that they were in, and just annoying the shit out of everybody. Like, you're going to walk by to the front door, and these bastards are just flying all over. And like I said, a few times I'm just walking in and I feel a little like prick, and I'm like, gosh, shit, no, they got me. It's not like a big deal or anything, but it's just a pain in the ass, and it's, you know, it's just, she swells up a little bit. But if you're allergic to it, I mean, that's a big deal. But so I'm hoping, you know, fingers crossed that they don't find their way back.
Usually they don't.
Otherwise, I got to find a way to get rid of them.
Yeah, they don't return to that nest. They abandon that nest. But the problem is, you know, the queens that they raised that year, they sneak off and try to survive the winter somewhere under tree bark or in your attic or something like that. And if they survive the winter, they'll come back and usually build a new nest within a couple hundred feet of wherever the old nest was. So I'll tell you what, this summer, one of the services I offer is like a virtual pest control consultation. And you can use that phone, and we'll get on a call.
All right. Perfect. All right.
And you go out there and show me what's going on.
What's going on. Give me your expert advice out there. Hopefully I won't need it. But in the event that I do, now I know a guy now to.
we'll be on that. We'll be on that virtual consultation, and, you know, the whole left side of your head and face will be all swelled up where you got stung.
I gotta get the big bee suit on, out there and be
man, I'll tell you that
beekeeper out there, people driving by, like, what the hell is this guy doing? How many beers did he have today?
That bee suit's the way to go. I mean, you don't have to be allergic to them. You know, I mean, 100 stings will put you in the hospital.
Yeah.
And 500 stings will kill you if you're not allergic to them.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
One of the things I'll probably start this spring.
I was just gonna ask you, is that something? Because Roadhouse has got a wide variety of animals. I mean, I have chickens, but that's as far as I've gone over here. But Roadhouse has chickens, rabbits. Is that it for right now? Did you expand anything else?
Hogs.
Hogs. Okay.
Yeah, and then probably this spring I'm gonna start 2 beehives.
Okay, I was going to say, I thought that would be in your wheelhouse now, yeah. Something else to try to expand over there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my wife won't let me have animals except for a dog and a cat. So, and I didn't really want either one of those, but she won't let me have animals. So I plant all kinds of weird plants, with my elderberries, honeyberries, chokeberry, gooseberry, nice. You know, and it's all pretty tasty stuff.
Yep, good stuff there. Yeah, we do a lot over here. I just finished up my hog pen, planning on getting hogs. So I want to get it all in place before I bring an animal in. You know, I spent, 4 or 5 years researching rabbits before I started fooling with them.
So when you're going to raise hogs, what are you going to do, sell them or eat them yourself?
No, I'm just process them, you know, raise them for meat.
Man, that doesn't sound like a very pleasant job, processing a hog.
No, it's not, but it's at least I know what it's ate, how it lived, and here's how I tell people, my animals live the best life, get the best food, and have the best accommodations. They only have one bad day.
Yeah. Well, our dog, we got this dog and my wife bought pet insurance for it.
Yeah.
Which is like $30 a month.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And man, that dog gets, you know, way better medical care than I do.
Oh yeah.
$30 for your
health. Oh, I was gonna say, usually the animals that you're raising as a pet, you're not, you know, harvesting like Roadhouse is saying there. They always got the good life there. They get treated, you know, like kings and queens.
Yeah,
I need to start identifying as a whippet and get me some of that $30 health insurance.
You got to get some of that bonus stuff.
She takes that dog to the vet, and they brush her teeth and all kinds of stuff.
You're getting pampered over there, getting all the good stuff there. Then you know you go to the dentist. It's not going to be that fun going to the dentist.
Yeah, and she was a rescue dog, and you know we got her home and started giving her snacks, right? And, you know, we'll get a bag of snacks and feed them to her for a while. And there comes a day when she's like, nope, not eating that crap. So that, you know, she's eating her weight. And now she kind of snubs all the different snacks we try to give her. And the only thing she'll eat now is pepperonis out of the bag.
Yeah.
Dog's got better health coverage than I do. Has somebody else brushing her teeth and eats more pepperoni than I do.
Yeah. I know, doing so something right over there. You're like, man, why do I get that? I don't get treated like that. Where's right, my I know, pepperoni? Right? I want some pepperoni. That'd be good right now.
Wouldn't it though? Pepperoni and hams. That sounds like a winning combination.
Hey, you can't go wrong there. And I was gonna say, now what's your is hams your go to beer these days? I mean, what's your usual go to drinks if you're out either? You know, I know you said you do your bowling. Is it hams? Is it what's your go-to drinks?
Man, you can't order hams at the bowling alley.
Yeah, I was gonna say it's rare to see out in an establishment.
Anywhere. You know, they're those. You know, any kind of bar restaurant situation, they're wanting to sell you, you know, Bell's Two Hearted Ale or some kind of high end craft beer that's $11 mm-hmm. for a big glass. So to get hams, I mean, you really got to go to a liquor store. So
yeah, you gotta buy that yourself. Yeah, I mean, I know it's rare. I mean, I don't think I've ever seen hams in person at a bar or a restaurant. I know I've seen people post in certain areas. I know there's some dive bars out there that they will serve, you know, like, okay, like dollar, like hams, you know, cans. And
yeah,
rarely I'll see people post about it being on draft, but I mean, that's
yeah, I used to, you go to these bars and they'd have 25 cent beer night, and yeah, you'd go in there and get a 25 cent beer, and it'd be like 2.5 ounces of beer.
Yeah. Just a little like shot glass.
But yeah. I went to the American Legion one time, and they had a stag beer. You guys ever hear of that?
Yes.
That's a cheap beer. They didn't have Hampstead stags. We started drinking that stag, and we drank it all. And it come to find out they had it, just one guy that would come in there drank it. So we drink the last stag, and they're out. And well, then this guy comes in wanting a stag, and they're out. And he gets all bent out of shape. And the bartender threw us under the bus. She said, "Well, those guys drank all your."
Well, hey, why they offer it to you? You gotta have more. They're like, "Oh, we had two cases. We didn't think that these guys are gonna drink all of them." The past 5 years has come in and wanted to drink stag, and then these guys come in and like, "Oh, you don't have hams? We'll take stag. Cheap beer do you have that we can drink?"
First come, first serve, right?
Yeah,
sure. In
a commercial establishment. But when I'm out, you know, at a place that only sells the expensive beers, I usually get like Liftoff IPA or Zombie Dust, or I like those IPAs.
You like the hoppy stuff?
Yeah, and I like IPAs because I like my beer the way I like my ex girlfriend's extra bitter.
Yeah. Well, you're getting that with the IPA, that's for sure. I'm not a big IPA fan for the most part. There's a few here and there that I'll drink, but it's never anything that I go out of my way to drink. Every once in a while, if I'm out somewhere, if I see an IPA that sounds interesting, I might give it a shot.
Give it a shot, yeah.
But usually I more of like the, I don't say the, like if it was like an orange IPA or something like that. Or if it's one that I know, like Dogfish Head IPA, 60 minute, 90 minute. I like those.
Oh, you like Shock Top? That's kind of orangey a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So stuff like that. But yeah, I mean, not if I just see a random IPA on a list at a restaurant, I'm more than likely not going to get it because A, it's going to be, like you said, it's going to be the more expensive choice on the list. And you're like, oh, well, okay, man.
Oh, yeah, you talk about
it. I'll drink it if I get it, but you have to power through it.
Yeah, we're not turning nothing down here.
Yeah.
Man, that's for real. You're at a bowling alley and order a large Shock Top or Blue Moon or something. I mean, that's, you know, you're looking at $11.
Yeah.
And I can get a case of hams here for $13.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a difficult choice for me.
No.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I gotta kill that $11 beer, man. That's a lot of roach killing right there.
Yep. Yeah, you gotta make up for that now. You gotta do a little extra work in to get a few more people in there to get you some business, and then you can afford those expensive beers.
Yeah, that's right, there, man. The big money makers, termites, and you know, that's thousands of dollars if you get termites, and I don't have a termite license, mostly because the rig to do that's probably to get the stuff to do termite treatments, looking at maybe $20,000 outlay.
Yeah, right. You gotta weigh it to say, okay, is it worth it to put the investment into this if you think you're gonna get the amount of work that's gonna then
On top of that, you know, like I can go treat your house for yellow jackets and use, you know, 1 ounce of insecticide and in a gallon of water. But with termites, you have to apply a gallon per, I mean, it's like every 2 or 3 linear feet. So you're out driving down the interstate around town with a tank, you know, 200 gallon tank full of insecticide, you know, and if you have to buy an expensive spill kit. So if you have an accident and spill that, you know, you have to get out there and, you know, environmental management has to come over, and it's a, you know, it's a little miniature environmental hazard. So yeah.
You got like a crime scene over there. They got
I ran into an issue with termites. The last house that I sold, the guy that had the house before us built an addition on the backside, and he used a lot of reclaimed lumber. And yeah. I mean, it was oak and stuff like that. It was a really nice addition. And when we got this ready to sell our house and we had it inspected, some of that wood had termite damage probably from 75, 80 years ago, but wow. It was predetermined. It was evidence of termite damage. So we had to get our place treated for termites.
Yeah, man, that termites are a serious drag.
Which we didn't have any termites, but so they put these little green pods all around in our yard, all around the foundation.
And I've seen those.
I can't remember. It was well over $1,000-something for these little green things. Well, I opened one up, and there's only a piece of freaking wood in it.
Yeah, that's a. They put a piece of wood in there. It's like a manufactured wood, and it's got. It's impregnated with pesticides, and they're supposed to go in there and eat that and die.
That's always good. Tease them in there and lure them in.
But
yeah.
the guys I know, the pest control guys I know, say that those termite bait stations are a scam.
Yeah, I'm the only one that got wood. That was straight up the ass.
Yeah, the if you're going to get a pet, if you're going to get an infestation of some kind of pest, the three that you don't want in order are termites, bed bugs, and roaches.
Yeah.
Yeah. One of the products that exterminators commonly use, it's one class of insecticide called pyrethroids, and there are about 12 or 13 different insecticides that are in that class. And bed bugs and and they're very commonly used by exterminators, and bed bugs and roaches are both at this point immune to those. So it's, bed bugs are, there's a lot of stuff that'll kill bed bugs. The problem is you can't use those things on somebody's mattress. There's only about four things that'll kill roaches and probably two or three things that'll kill bed bugs.
Bugs, do they evolve to your treatments?
Oh, yeah. The faster they reproduce, the more likely they are to become resistant to whatever insecticide.
Yeah.
The problem with bed bugs, they have a great big thick thick exoskeleton, a big thick thick shell that kind of protects them. So that's why they're resistant. But things like roaches and mosquitoes, a mosquito can go from an egg to a biting adult in a week. So their reproductive rate is so high that they can become immune. But in Indiana, we don't have such a big problem with mosquitoes getting immune because in the wintertime kills a bunch of them off.
Sure.
But if you're in somewhere like Florida, Nicaragua, where they're spraying for mosquitoes year round, insecticide resistance is a problem. And that's one of the big, the big things that, exterminators and the insecticide producers struggle with is staying ahead of it's like the armor projectile race. You got to kind of stay ahead of them and keep developing new products.
Yeah. You got to try to beat them to the punch and take them out before they know what's coming next.
And one of the things you got to bear in mind, like the generation before me, like guys my dad's age, my best friend in high school, his dad was an exterminator. And for roaches, he used a product called Dieldrin. And so you can't get that anymore. It's been phased out because roaches got immune to it. And it was replaced by a product called fipronil. You've probably heard of that. If you go get like a roach bait to kill roaches, probably half of it's fipronil. Half the products out there are fipronil. The thing about fipronil, it's in the same class of chemical as Dieldrin. So I've went out and sprayed roaches with fipronil, and they just thumbed their nose. It didn't kill one of them. If you go to Lowe's and get a roach bait, probably a 50% chance it's going to have fipronil. And I've come across fipronil resistant roaches, and the way that you overcome that is you rotate. Don't spray the same chemical twice. Anywhere. And when I say the same chemical, I mean the same class.
Yeah.
I mean a different pesticide. I mean, a different class of pesticide. So you have to kind of have the knowledge, you know, to look at a label, and usually the label will tell you, the front label will say class, you know, 4A or 3A, whatever. But you kind of have to be smart enough to know what chemical class that pesticide's in and what to, you know, what to use next time that's in a different class.
Yeah, saying, that's what you're here for. You're here for that. I mean, like, I don't right. know. What am I using? I don't know.
And, you know, and you have to buy and have in stock pesticides of several different classes. And the thing is, there are a lot of different insecticides, but they're divided among a relatively small number of different classes, like maybe half a dozen different chemical classes or less. You know, so we're always worried about, you know, a resistance. And even like when it comes to rodents, the older rodent insecticide, rodenticides, was like a blood thinner, and they would eat that and get internal bleeding, and it took multiple feedings to do them in, and they started getting resistant to that, and they switched to the industry switched to a different chemical called bromethalin, which is a neurotoxin, and they take one bite of that, the first thing they do is they stop feeding, and then within a day or two, they're dead. But that's a neurotoxin. There's no antidote for it. So we have to put that in bait stations. You don't want to just, drop it on the ground or on the floor somewhere. You have to make sure it's in a bait station where kids and pets can't get to it.
Yeah.
But anyway, pest control is kind of a new thing to learn. It's completely different than what I was doing for a long time. I was getting kind of burned out, you know, on the
how long have you been doing the pest control now? How many years?
I've been doing it. So I started on October 29th, 2024. And I remember that date because I started on October 27th, 2024. And I remember that date because October 28th is my birthday.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're only just a little bit over a year in it. So you're still fairly new to the
new. Yeah, what, a year and...
Yeah, a year and change, yeah.
Yeah, a year and 3 months or something.
Couple months,
yeah. Yeah, if I get infestation here, I have homeowner's insurance and my house is probably going to burn to the ground. Actually, we'll just build another house.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, man, you can get... you don't get bed bugs from being dirty. You don't get termites from being dirty. You can get roaches by being dirty, but you can pick them up in a hotel or some overnight guest. One might hitchhike on their bag or something.
Somebody brings something along with them.
Oh, yeah, man. And roaches. When people get roaches, there's different species of roaches, and the one that people usually get is German roaches, and they reproduce the fastest and they're harder to get rid of. To put it into perspective, one roach, one egg carrying female can make, in one reproductive go, she might make 40, 50, 60 baby roaches. Ooh, so
man, that's a lot.
So one egg carrying female roach in your house, will turn into 1 million roaches in 60 days.
Ooh.
And it depends on how big your house is, but typically the roach population, if you don't do something to try to get rid of them, they'll top out at about 500 individuals per square foot. So if you can imagine a 12-inch by 12-inch section of your kitchen floor with 500 roaches on it, that's enough. You wouldn't be able to see the floor, right?
Yeah, no.
So no. When it comes to roaches, I mean, typically we use a powder, a dust that you need a duster to apply. We use a bait in a syringe that's kind of like peanut butter, with an insecticide in it. And, a spray, which might have one, maybe two different insecticides in the spray. And then in that spray, we also put between 1 and 3 insect growth regulators. And all, the spray, the dust, and the bait all have to be in a different, not only different insecticides, but in a different class of insecticide. So use a combination of products, each in a different class, and that dramatically cuts down on the odds of them being able to develop resistance and survive that.
Yeah, around here, it's not a roaches, you never see them. We have a bunch of free-range chickens as well that just go all over the place. The biggest problem we have here, it wasn't so bad this year as it was last year, is ticks.
Another hams just exploded all over me here.
Bob, you must be doing it wrong.
I don't know. I don't know what it is. Sometimes you just get lucky here. I don't know that I shake. Did you come over and shake up all these on here?
Yeah.
Trying to get the roulette on me here to.
Yeah, hold it up to your head.
Yeah, a little floor full of beers. It's all good. It's all good.
You know when you that trick where
Yeah, Roadhouse broke out the big guy there, the Natty Daddy. Doug, have you ever seen a Natty Daddy before? Have you ever had a Natty Daddy?
No, I have not.
That's
man,
it's the mean old stepfather to natural light.
What I remember about Kentucky is that you could just walk into any, you know, any hole in the wall dump liquor store, and they all had the top shelf bourbon, you know, and, you know, I mean, any old liquor store anywhere, you go in there and they have all the best bourbons in Kentucky and in Indiana,
you're right there. Yeah.
Yeah. Indiana, you have to, if you're going to see the better, you know, the better bourbons, you have to go to kind of a much larger kind of upscale, you know, you can't, you know, there's a limited number of places in Indianapolis where you can, as far as liquor store goes, where you can actually go get, for example, Blanton's. And then when you do find it, you know, some degenerate's always bought the bottle with the vowel that you need. So that's what I do, man. I, you know, kill roaches, drink hams, and go bowling. Oh, speaking of bowling. I'm big into bowling, and I don't know if you're aware, but hams back in the 60s and 70s, that the hams bowling team was a big deal during the heyday of bowling.
I think I've seen maybe either pictures or I don't know if there was commercials or something related to hams bowling. I know there is somebody I follow on Instagram, I believe, that he's a big hams guy, and every once in a while he'll post like old advertisements, old clips, and stuff like that. And I think I might have seen the hams bowling pop up at one point, but no, that's a relic right there.
So my the guys I
bowling alley,
the guys I bowl with, we wrote a letter to Hams and asked them if they sponsor us.
Yeah.
And send us some Hams t-shirts. And I guess we're not good enough because they never responded.
Actually, yeah, I was going to say, those bastards, come on. I know.
Yeah, I guess Buzzkill Pest Control, I guess my domain authority is not high enough yet to get a
sponsorship. Keep working on it, man. You're still fairly new
in the business here.
You keep building up the business, keep getting the word out there, keep spreading the word about it. I mean, is the Buzzkill Pest Control, is that linked to the bowling? Is that like part of your bowling team?
No, not yet.
Right. I was gonna say, if you kind of like linked them all together, you know, the synergy between the bowling and the pest control, then maybe Hams will get wind of it, and then they'll kind of grab onto it and send you some stuff or sponsor you.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, I'll keep at it. You know, as you can. You know, I'm still young. You probably tell by looking at me, I'm just about 29.
Yeah, just a kid, man. You probably just turned 21. You know, you had your first beers, you know.
I always get carded, you know. Like
that's fine. You got to make sure you're legit, man.
The tobacco store and the liquor store is right next to each other where I live. And the tobacco store always cards me. They want to see my driver's license, but the liquor store never does. I don't know. I don't know what that means. I tell them, you know, like I know I don't look 21.
I don't know. Maybe they think you got a good disguise or something that you're.
Yeah, I don't know.
We better keep keeping you honest over there. Sometimes you got to keep you honest to see see what you're doing over there. So what's next for you, Doug? What's anything on the agenda for the pest control or the bowling? What are you working on over there?
Well, I'll tell you, I use a lot of data science to analyze my pest control results, and I've had pretty good success doing that. And I also use data science to analyze my bowling game, and I analyze my equipment, you know, like what kind of bowling shoes I have, you know, are they, what kind of slides do I have on them? What kind of ball am I using? You know, and there's on a bowling ball, there's a layout which has to do with where the holes are drilled. What kind of ball, what the ball surface is, if it's dull or shiny and all that kind of stuff. And I analyze all that stuff. And really what I found out was that early in the year, like in January, the bowling lanes are pretty dry. And as you progress throughout the year, they get more oily. Like if you're in there bowling in August, they're going to be super oily. But what the statistical analysis told me was that, the equipment that you have is important if you don't suck. And the program.
Yeah, you gotta have some sort of skill first. I'm not a big bowling person. I mean, I haven't been bowling probably in 5-6 years, probably more than that at this point.
Yeah, get out.
I go out there really just an excuse just to have some beers and just kind of toss the ball down the lane, see what you do, but never had the skill to be any competitive bowler.
Well, it takes practice, but skill also. And I think the highest game I ever bowled was something like a 260. And but my average is something like more like 145, 150.
Okay.
So what happens is I get out there and, bowl a couple 200s, and then I get out there in the third game and bowl like a 45.
Yeah.
And then that kills my average.
Yeah, you're like, okay, first you're like, oh man, all right, 200, all right, we're moving up, the average is going up. All right, third game, it's gonna be great. Next thing you know, gutter ball. Oh shit.
But like I said, I'm still young, and I practice, and I'll become a better bowler, and I know that eventually I'll be good enough and I can go and try out for the senior PBA, right? My wife, for Christmas one year, she signed me up with the Bowl with the Pros, where all these pro bowlers came to the bowling alley, and you would team up with one of them.
Okay.
Of course, you had to pay for that. So I went to that, and you would bowl against the pro, right? And I don't know if you guys know who Pete Weber is.
I've heard of him, yeah.
Yeah, I've heard his name.
He's like the John McEnroe of bowling.
Yeah.
is kind of prone to outbursts, I guess. And so I'm out there bowling with him. And, and after you make a shot, he'd want to high five you, but he wouldn't high five you with his bowling hand. He'd protect that hand. And he'd get up there and he'd high five you. And he's got one finger that's permanently bent like that. Right. And this is at like U.S. Nationals or something here in Indianapolis.
Mm-hmm.
And the bowl with the pros, I think, was part of that, but in the evening. And I remember I bowled Pete Weber. And he'd high-five you, but he wouldn't use this hand. He'd use his non-bowling hand, and his finger was bent.
You don't want any injuries, man. You high-five that man the wrong way. Next thing you know,
so he's
got a broken finger, and he's careful. All over.
He's got the hands of a surgeon. He's careful.
That's smart, man.
Probably like cracking.
But I got him. I bowled him, and he got it. He bowled a 263. So he had one frame where he didn't get a strike or a spare.
Yeah, that's
263. And then I bowled a 203, which is pretty unusual. I mean, usually I don't bowl anywhere near that high, and I got a 203.
Nice.
And
hey, you're playing up to the competition there.
Sometimes after the game, you get a certificate with your score on it, and then Pete Weber signs it, and nice. I got that stuff, and I said, hey Pete, you only beat me by 60 pins. And my wife's standing there. And so he gets all mad and he starts ranting. He's like, I've been in here bowling since 4 o'clock this morning, you know. And he gets all mad at me.
He's defensive, like, sorry, man. I didn't mean it like that.
Yeah, and you know, he gets all mad and my wife's, she's like, Are you gonna get thrown out? Are you gonna like get in a fight and get thrown out of the U.S. Nationals, you know, the bowling nationals? And
I was gonna say, I said,
hey man, you know, it'll hurt him more than it hurts me.
I was gonna say, I'm thinking of like the Happy Gilmore Bob Barker fight
right
there between you two.
it was almost like, I mean, he's fun to bowl with, don't get me wrong, but
you got Roy Munson.
He's just very defensive of his scores, and somebody calls him out on that. And
there were some of the other big bowlers there, like Chris Barnes, you know, Jason Belmonte, Kyle Troop. Those guys were all there, and I got the next game I bowled with. I bowled against Chris Barnes, and we got done. And I started shit talking him too at the end, and he just laughed. You know, like he didn't care.
Some people are better sports than others.
I mean, you know, that, like, it was later in the evening. We're doing the bowl with the pros, and I mean that, you know, they don't record that for them as part of their performance there at the tour,
right?
You know,
right,
it's just like an extracurricular thing that they do.
It's just for fun, guys. All right.
Yeah. So you get out there and bowl a zero. It's not gonna affect them. You know, it's not on TV.
It's not going on your permanent record here. You can do whatever, fool around, we're just trying to have fun here. That's.
I found out you can shit talk Pete Weber very little.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, so
noted.
How do you guys feel? How do you guys feel about foul language on this podcast?
You're good. You're good. Let it fly. Yeah,
so I told my wife. I said, "You see him high fiving me, and his hand was like that, and his thumb was bent down like that." And she said, "Well, yeah, I noticed that. What's wrong with him?" And I said, "I'll tell you exactly what's wrong with him." This is when she's saying, "You're going to get kicked out of the U.S. Open." I said, "You know what's wrong with his hand, don't you?" And she said, "What?" And I said, "He fucked with the wrong redneck."
Yeah,
but my daughter bowled in that too, like on a different lane with a different pro. But I bowled Pete Weber, which was the that was the honor of a lifetime. You know,
yeah,
sure.
Just my opinion, the best bowler alive.
Hey, no, that's awesome. Like that's fun. Those
two-handed bowlers, you know, I think that's cheating. I'm a one-handed bowler. Pete's a one-handed bowler, so he bowled a 263. I got a 203, and I was just happy I didn't completely embarrass myself.
I was gonna say you cracked 200, so I mean that's a win. That's a win, right?
Maybe
there, so
maybe I should ride Hams again and play the Pete Weber card. I have a picture of this.
There you go. See,
I have a picture of me and
give
Pete
it a
Weber.
Shot. Give it a shot. Whatever gets them on board. With you there, but no, that's awesome.
Man, I get the big Hams corporate sponsorship. you guys will be calling me, begging me for a backlink.
Yeah, come on, let's go. Come on, let's do it.
I'm only in it for the bowling shirts.
I want the nice Hams bowling shirts. You know, we'll get our names on them.
I guess we're just gonna have to break down, bite the bullet, and all of us pay the $15 to get a Hams shirt from Amazon. I guess.
Yeah.
I don't think they're going to subsidize us.
Yeah, we'll see. Hey, don't give up though. Never give up on your dreams over here.
That's right. Never give up on your dreams. I'm still young.
Exactly. Doug's got the time there. Look at him. He's doing pest control now. You know, multiple different careers in his lifetime over here. Still going strong. Bowling, Hams.
Was that good stuff there. Wasn't that a Hams thing? You know, you got the time, we got the beer.
That was the Miller High Life.
If you've got
the time, we've got the beer. But hey, another great cheap beer. We used to call it. That was the bowling alley beer.
Yes, Miller High absolutely. Life where I grew up.
You know, one of my friends wanted to get a case of that one night, and we did, and I swear that stuff tastes exactly like orange peels. I could barely drink it. I mean, it was
really?
Miller High Life. I mean, it was
that's the champagne of beers right there.
Enough Miller Lite to sink a ship.
I don't know, man. Are you guys familiar with Terre Haute, Indiana?
No.
There was years ago, there was a brewery there, and it was called The beer was called Champagne Velvet. And I mean, we're talking like before World War II, a long time ago. And anyway, it, you know, went out of business and closed. Anyway, somebody in Terre Haute bought the rights to that, and they reopened a brewery using that recipe, making Champagne Velvet.
Oh, wow.
And I was somewhere with my sister, and she's like, oh, they have Champagne Velvet. And, you know, it's like a kind of a big deal, big name beer around Terre Haute, because it was a locally produced beer. And we got some of that. And Bob, I'm telling you, that stuff tasted like ass.
Sounds great.
Let's try it. Let's do it. Hey, we tried quite a few beers that are on the worst. You gotta give it a shot. That's what we always say. Even if it's something that people say is terrible, you still gotta try it and find out for yourself.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, it doesn't hurt to try one. So if you guys,
that's what we try to do. If we can find it, we'll try it out here. And
if you guys, if you guys ever get a beer in your bonnet and decide to road trip to Terre Haute, you stop and pick me up, and we'll get some Champagne Velvet and go to Taco Casita.
Oh, sounds like a great time. Wonderful. See, sounds good to me. I'm down. That sounds like a good time here. Don't even tempt us with a good time over here.
Might even be able to scare up some stags somewhere.
Maybe. Hey, where's that?
So you guys, have you guys
American actually, Legion over there?
Yeah, it'd be American Legion in Robinson, Illinois. But yeah. Have you guys ever tried stag?
I've never had.
I have.
Yeah, they don't. It's not here in New Jersey.
It's very regional.
Yeah, it's one of those beers. I think that's only in certain areas of the country. I mean, I'll see people post about it from time to time, but it's nothing that I've actually come across in my travels.
Man, when I was younger, I grew up just across the Wabash River in Illinois, and you could not get any kind of Coors beer in Illinois. I don't know what it was. And like the beer that everyone coveted and was always, you know, people would drive out of state and fill their car up with Coors and bring it back to Illinois so people could drink it, because it was like scarcity made it more delicious,
yeah,
I guess.
Yeah.
And, you know, now in Indiana, of course, you can walk right into a liquor store and buy Coors.
It's right there. Coors Light. Yeah.
And it's just like any other beer.
Yeah.
But as a, you know, as a younger person, I'm like, oh man, Coors, that's right up there with Lowenbrau. And
it was the exclusive. It had that aura to it that, since it's exclusive, you can't find it. It's this higher class
beer. Yeah, and I to this day, I don't know. I heard like there was some kind of revenue or tax on it that Coors didn't want to pay the state of Illinois or something, you know, like that. So. Yeah. Couldn't get it. I don't know if you can get it there or not now, because when I go to the liquor store now, I get Hams, and if they don't have that, I get Natural Light or Natural Ice.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm very...
This is the mean old stepdad to Natural
Ice. Yeah, if you see the Natty Daddy, that's the higher ABV. That's the 8%.
8%.
So it's the step above the Natty Ice. You get the Natty Daddy.
Yep.
And if you want to get the tall boy, I mean, they're usually... less than $2 or so for a tall boy.
In Terre Haute, it's only 3.5 hours from me.
Yeah, well, that's about 2.5 hours for me.
Yep.
Anyway, yeah, I'm very versatile, man. I can do corrections, you know, IT work, pest control. And then when it comes to beer, I can drink Hams, Natural Light, or Natural Ice.
I've had a lot of run-ins with COs.
they're good for that. Like I said, my time working in state prison really, you know, refined my already sparkling personality.
I've never graduated up to state prison, but I've had lots of county experience.
Have you? Okay, well, I got to tell you, man, state prisons are a lot nicer than being in a county lockup. And there's people in the county lockup that can't wait to go to state prison because the food's better. Again.
Like they're getting the upgrade, yeah.
Yeah, they can go out and go to the yard and all that stuff. County lockup's not very pleasant at all. You know, if you like boiled broccoli, I guess.
I don't know. I've spent a lot of time in county, a lot of weekends, a lot of weeks, a lot of months.
Man, you must be You must be trying harder than I am.
I was a lot wilder and crazier in my younger years.
Yeah.
In my 20s and 30s, a little bit into my 40s, yeah, I was wild. Now I'm just laid back and chill.
He's settled down now. He's got his chickens. He's got his rabbits.
Yeah. I got
soon to be hogs. Maybe some bees come this spring. Yeah. So you never know what you'll...
Man, I don't know about in Kentucky, but in Indiana, people buy those little, like those little tiny pigs as pets.
Yeah.
And people tell them, it's like, oh, it's a miniature pig. Like one of my wife's friends bought this miniature pig, and she called it Kevin Bacon. And, and dude, that thing would eat dog food or something, but we were over at her house, and that pig was a hoot. But that thing grew up and turned into a monster. I mean, it was a real hog. I mean, it got...
A hog, a pig's a hog, a hog's a hog.
Oh, yeah, they told her it was a miniature.
If you turn one loose and it goes out in the woods and it becomes feral, it'll grow tusks and everything.
Yeah, she got this little pig. She thought it was a miniature pig. And like 2 or 3 years later, that pig's like 300 pounds. Yeah.
I've done a lot of research.
That's no miniature pig, man. That's a real deal. That's a full-grown pig now, man.
I've narrowed it down to the breed of pig I want to get. And they're called Coon Coons. K-U-N-E times two. And they're just a good small area pig that doesn't take a lot of effort, don't take a lot of space, and can process around 250 to 350 pounds.
But Roadhouse, does it make delicious ham?
Hell yeah. Potbelly pig with.
Yeah, I never had any bad.
Your friend's little mini pig.
There'll just be a test. We'll see. Once the time comes,
the scale's different.
Yeah, I'm expecting an invite. I'm gonna go smash the like button on YouTube, Bum Wine Bob.
Good see you, man. Go.
And it sounds like we're gonna have
on it.
Yeah, we might have us a
little pig roast,
spiral cut ham, and champagne velvet extravaganza.
It's in the plans. We're going to have the Bum Wine get together.
Yeah, as Roadhouse says, what are these things? He's got the space out there in his compound over there to invite everybody over, you know, who's been on the podcast, guests of the show, friends of the show, to come over there for a big
bring
your big beer bash, bring your hams, bring your beers of choice, and have a good time. Wow. So Doug, we'll let you know once the time comes. We'll make sure an invite your way.
Keep on following all the social medias, and one day it's going to happen.
I don't think I ever been to a bona fide Kentucky compound before.
There we go. Yeah, it's better than any county correctional facility.
Yeah,
else.
That's right.
So you'll be good to go.
Hope I don't get on some kind of no fly list.
Because you've been arrested here now. Now you're screwed. Yeah. Now you've been on the podcast here. Yep. You've interacted with Roadhouse. Yeah. Now you've been flagged.
You've been associated with the world famous Roadhouse.
Yeah. So now, sorry, I'm sorry.
Now you're on the list.
Good thing I don't ever plan on flying anywhere again.
Well, there you go. Now you're good, bud.
Buddy.
But hey, Doug. Thanks for coming on here, hanging out with us, chatting, hearing about all you got going. I want to tell everybody where they can find you, you know, plug all your stuff.
Awesome. Well, I appreciate it. Like I said, if you'll excuse me, I have to go and go smash a like button on YouTube.
Yeah. See, smash it. You got to get in there. Smash that subscribe button. Smash that like button.
All right. Well, thanks for the calls, guys.
Hey, yeah. No, definitely, Doug. Thank you. You know, follow Doug. Check him out. If you're in the Indianapolis area, you know, hit him up, the Buzzkill Pest Control, or, you know, virtual consultations out there as well.
I might take
him up on it. I mean, hopefully I don't need your help, but if I do, I will reach out and let you know. So check him out. That's Doug there, Buzzkill Pest Control. We got Roadhouse here, as always, hanging out here, having a good time. I am Bum Wine Bob. Do us a solid, smash that subscribe button on the Bum Wine Bob YouTube channel. Like, subscribe, rate, review the podcast. Tell your friends. And until next time, cheers.
Cheers.
Cheers. See ya.
Motherfuckers. I need a beer.